The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Bean Day, Tony. Name your favorite bean.
Tony Kornheiser.
Billy?
Billy Bean?
No.
Orson? Mr. Bean? L.L. Bean? Beanie Wells? Beanie Baby? Jelly Bean Bryant? What about that guy Butterbean, that fighter? What about him, Mike? Did you like
him?
You didn't like Butterbean?
Black bean soup.
Black bean soup is good. I like green beans. I do like green beans, although not in a casserole, not in those mushy, I hate those mushy casseroles. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Steph Curry is in a slump, Derrick Henry is back, and Aaron Rodgers sounds happy with things in Green Bay. But we begin today with Kyrie Irving's debut this season with the Nets 36 games into this season. Irving had immediate impact, scoring 22 points, including 10 in the fourth quarter in a win over Indiana. Everyone was happy except maybe the CDC. Wilbon, what did Irving show in his first game?
Tony, you could see what he showed his first game if you look at the faces of particularly Kevin Durant and Steve Nash and James Harden after the game. I mean, Kevin Durant hadn't smiled in like 2 weeks. That team had lost three straight. Kevin Durant was pointedly, publicly critical of the entire team effort and its attitude, and it was clear going into last night's game, Tony, that Brooklyn needed something. You know, they needed a booster shot, pun intended. And that's what Kyrie Irving was last night. They could fall back into more familiar and comfortable roles. Durant and Harden, they did that. You know, Durant had a great game. And you know what? Kyrie wasn't great, but he didn't have to be. I mean, to me, if I was grading this, I'd say he was a B evening somewhere. You could go B plus. If it's his first game and you're grading the curve a little bit, you can go B minus. But he gave them, Tony, that injection of excitement they needed as we enter the dog days of the NBA season.
So you have to be crazy or blind not to think that Kyrie Irving can help the Nets. Of course he can. That's why the Nets abandoned their principles. That's why the Nets welcomed the guy back, even though they said stay away. In all of the coverage of it, though, Mike, like the way I listened to it, it sounds like Kyrie must have been injured. He wasn't injured. He didn't play because he chose not to get vaccinated. And when he talks about, and I want to get these words right, a collective agreement that they could all come to, he means a collective agreement that he doesn't have to get vaccinated. A story like this always makes me think of Aaron Rodgers and Novak Djokovic, who are in the news, who are not vaccinated. These people are all the authors of their own circumstance. I believe Kyrie Irving may be the most important guy in the NBA right now, because if he can play, they can win. But what if, Mike, what if you get to the playoffs and there's a home game 7 in Brooklyn and he can't play? Is everybody going to love him then, too? I don't know.
Well, then you know what helped during the road games? I mean, Tony, it is a collective agreement. They agreed to let him come back and be a part-time player. That's on Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And we'll see how this plays out. Look, we like to judge everything in the culture now based on instant returns, you know? And so the instant return is he helped them. And I agree with you, he can help them. I don't think they can win without him, but maybe part-time, Tony, they'll be able to get at least close enough. Remember, they lost three straight. They're still number two in the Eastern Conference. So he's going to be a factor one way or the other. Derrick Henry, moving to the NFL, is back on the practice field for the Tennessee Titans. The team's star running back has been out with a foot injury for more than 2 months. The Titans can lock down home field advantage throughout the playoffs by beating the sorry Texans on Sunday. Tony, should Tennessee risk its star this weekend or put him in bubble wrap, protect him for the playoffs?
You can call them the sorry Houston Texans if you want, Mike, but they beat Tennessee the first time around, and they beat them in Tennessee. Tennessee has to win this game because you have to lock up the number one seed, because all the games before the Super Bowl will then be in Tennessee, and you get a bye. And to me, the bye is the wild card in this whole situation, and I'll tell you what I mean. I may want to play Derrick Henry a little bit this week so that his first action isn't just in the playoffs. And if I get a bye, then I can rest him. I mean, if you ask me what ideally I would do, I would dress him and I would try not to play him. If I need him because I'm behind, I'm going to play him. And if I'm comfortably ahead, as I said, maybe I give him a little bit of time. I don't worry about injury, Mike, because in football, injury can happen on any play. You can't take that into consideration. So that's what I would do. What would you do?
Probably about the same thing. But Tony, I would dress him with the intent of playing him sparingly. 5 carries, you know, 1 drive.
Yeah.
Like the
yeah.
old preseason used to be. You know, when your best players might play 2 series. I don't even, if I could get away with 5 carries and not play him the second series.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If Tennessee can't beat Houston in a revenge game, in a rematch, then they're not worthy of a top seed anyway. All right? Tannehill, by the way, in that game, Tone, that they lost to Houston, threw 4 picks. And Tannehill's got to be better. And so, Tannehill, you want to save your guy back here? Play a good game of football. We're going to try to let him carry the ball 5 times, and then we're done, and let's go get our bye week.
It's interesting. In the last segment, I said Kyrie Irving may change the entire dynamic of the NBA. Derrick Henry may change the entire dynamic of the NFL.
No,
let's move on. Aaron Rodgers is talking again, this time not to Pat McAfee, but to Adam Schein on a podcast. This time, Rodgers addressed Packers management, who we all assumed he hated during his holdout. But Rodgers said of general manager Brian Gutekunst, quote, from one of the first days, Brian and I sat down and got on the same page, and it's been a really nice fall and winter. I appreciate his approach. It made my life much more enjoyable. I got to give Brian a lot of credit for meeting me in the middle, unquote. Wilbon, we can talk about how Rodgers attacked the MVP voter later, but you're our NFC North expert. What do these comments tell you about his future in Green Bay?
That he has one. That he has one. You know, I don't want to be, I am not going to be party to daily speculation for the next 8 months on where Aaron Rodgers is going to play. Unless there's some real evidence that he might go somewhere else. But where is he going to find? He himself said the grass is greener where you water it, which is true. So he and Gutekunst, they watered it. And the grass is pretty damn green, even in Green Bay, even in January. So that seems like where he's going to be until there's real evidence otherwise. So, Tone, what's his future in Green Bay? He's got a future in Green Bay.
Yeah, I agree with you. It sounds like he's going to stay in Green Bay. He has already said that Davante Adams is the best teammate he's ever had, and he's an active player on this roster. He's been complimentary to Matt LaFleur. And now, you know, I thought that the GM was the archangel of death as far as Rodgers was concerned. And now they're kissing. Now they're kissing. Yeah. And there's one other thing, too. It's really worked out for Rodgers. Even the COVID thing worked out for Rodgers in this regard. The one game he didn't play, they finally got to see Jordan Love. The Packers lost. Jordan Love produced 7 points. So nobody's calling for Jordan Love anymore. That ship has already sailed. So I think it works out very, very well for Aaron Rodgers right now. And I'm surprised because last year I said he wouldn't even play this year.
Yeah,
but
I think it has
worked out.
What do you think about him calling my man a bum? And he's not really my man. I don't know him. He's in Chicago. I've been in the same room with him a few times, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Call him a bum. What do you think?
He called him a bum, and your man called Rodgers a jerk. And a lot of people think Rodgers is a jerk for what he did with COVID. The MVP has to be decided on the field.
Yes.
There's no character issue in MVP.
No.
Aaron Rodgers is 13-2 as a starter this year. Nobody is that good. Aaron Rodgers has 35 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Not even Tom Brady is that good. Aaron Rodgers, Mike, is the MVP.
He's the MVP.
He's the MVP.
He's the MVP, and I really dislike bringing in he's a jerk and therefore I'm not going to vote for him. I got to tell you, and I have overseen some situations with voting a couple of times in my life in this profession. I mean, I'd have to consider taking that vote away. Because if you're using that as your criteria, that he's a jerk, and you're a Chicago guy, and everybody is certainly in our region understands the relationship, i.e. hatred, of Chicago and Green Bay and the circumstances, it's unseemly to me. I'm not going to say he's a bum because I don't know him, But it just, it's unseemly to base your vote on that. That's unprofessional to me.
All right, let's take a break. Coming up, we will get a little perspective on today's back and forth between Antonio Brown and the Bucs.
And we hear all the usual quarterbacks as MVP candidates. Rodgers, what defensive player or players deserve the award? We're going to ask Booger McFarland.
Yeah, I don't think I'd take his vote away. But again, my position would be that on it's an on-the-field award. It's not the Hall of Fame character thing like you have in baseball. It's not that. It's on the field.
It's unseemly. It's unseemly.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are heading into the final weekend of the NFL regular season, which makes it a perfect time to welcome back our great friend from Monday Night Countdown, ESPN NFL analyst Booger McFarland, all warm, not like he was the other night in Pittsburgh, freezing to death. Let's start with this. If you were playing on the Chargers or the Raiders on Sunday night, and you knew that a tie would get you both into the playoffs, as a player, Would any part of you be open to going for the tie?
Well, Tony, I don't know if any part with me just would be openly going for the tie, but if we happen to tie, like, I'm not going to be mad about it. If I told you and Wilbon I'd give you $5 million apiece, would you care if it was in nickels, pennies, or quarters? Like, it could, for me, I could care less as long as I get the $5 million. So to me, that really doesn't matter. Pennies, quarters, it doesn't matter, Michael. I think as a player, all you want is an opportunity to get in the dance and play for a championship. And once you get in the dance, we all know it's a matchup league. So, nah, I could care less. As long as my feet touch the dance floor and get into the playoffs, I'm all for it.
All right, we're going to go to some drama, some real drama with Antonio Brown this morning and throughout the day, the last couple of days. He says the team was making him play hurt, Booger, as you know. The team denies it, saying he was upset with his targets and suggests there was a contract motive. I know you've heard it all and had a chance to react it all. Tell us what your thoughts are right now on Antonio and what the heck he's doing.
You know, Mike, I've heard both sides of it. I've heard the Buccaneers side. They've had press conferences. They've released statements. I've heard Antonio Brown's side. He's released a statement. Here's what I do know. Antonio Brown is a grown man. He's got to be responsible for his actions. So let's play the what-if game. What if what he's saying is true? He still has no right to disrespect the NFL, disrespect the game of football, and get half naked on the sideline and throw his pads down and run into the locker room with no shirt on. Like, he has to be a grown-up and be a professional. There's a certain way you handle things. So I learned a long time ago in life, man, you take responsibility for your own actions, even if somebody else's actions are wrong. And so I would just tell Antonio this. If the Buccaneers are not telling the truth, then there's a way that that can come out. But you have to be responsible for it. You do. As far as who said what, when they said it, how they questioned it, none of us were there. We don't know. And so all we can go off of is what we do know. And he's got to be responsible for what he did. And I think the Buccaneers acted accordingly, and they cut him. And now both sides can figure out what they do next.
Amen to that. We're going to talk about some defense for a second. Tony would have you. You know, you do Tony's podcast. He didn't want to talk about defensive players. All he wants to talk about is quarterbacks and receivers and fancy offensive players. And I want to ask you, as a man who played defense, who you see as the MVP level, MVP caliber player on the defensive side of the ball in the league this season?
It's got to be T.J. Watt, right? Like, he's been knocking on the door of Defensive Player of the Year for the last 2 years. He's finished second. He's finished third. And I know in his heart he wants this award. And I thought Monday night against the Browns, he made a statement, not only to his team and to the Browns, but to the entire country. You guys haven't voted me Defensive Player of the Year. Well, I'm going to show you. I'm going to go out on national television against Baker Mayfield, and I'm going to give you 4 sacks. And I'm 1 sack short of the sack record, if you call it a record, depending on if you know Michael Strahan or Brett Favre and they're your friends, you may call it a record. But T.J. Watt has been outstanding. I think, Mike, that his entire season is kind of culminated last Monday night, and I think he's going to be able to finish off. I think he's going to break the sack record. He has been outstanding. I don't think they're going to get to the postseason, but that doesn't divulge from what he's done on the field this year, which is he's been incredible.
We'll get you out of here on this, Booger, and make it a quick answer. If we just had you do pro football, that would be enough. But you know college football a lot better than we do as well. There's a championship game coming up on Monday night. Who do you like, Georgia or Alabama?
You know what, Tony? I've been going back and forth because if you look at the rosters, Georgia has the better team, but Alabama has the better quarterback. And if you apply that to the first time they played in the SEC championship game, you see the better team didn't win. The team with the better quarterback won. And last time I checked, those same quarterbacks are going to play in this game. So I'm going to lean toward Alabama because they have the guy that touches the ball every single play, and he's the Heisman Trophy winner, and I think he's the best quarterback in the country regardless of classification. And so if you're Kirby Smart, you're going to have to figure out a way to do something different because Nick Saban took a game plan in the SEC championship game where he basically said, okay, we're not going to allow you to run the football and play bully ball. We know you're big, you're tough, you're strong, but we're not going to allow you to do that. We're going to make your quarterback play the game of football the way the quarterback is supposed to play it. And not only that game, Tony, but if you go back a couple games ago when Alabama came to Athens, so we've seen Stetson Bennett against a Nick Saban defense twice, and both times he's looked bad. I'm going with the Tide because they have the better quarterback, even though the better team may be in Athens and be with Georgia.
Thank you so much, as always, Booger.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Anytime, fellas. Stay warm. Wilbon, get well. And Tony, I can't believe that you complained about the snow on the podcast. Did you see what I had to deal with in Pittsburgh, man?
I did. I texted you while you were talking. It made me so happy that you answered. Let's take one last break. Still to come. Steph Curry is slumping. How concerned should the Warriors be?
And Novak Djokovic remains in detention in Australia while awaiting appeal. Is there a chance he plays in the tournament after all? Or maybe he'll just be in the gulag. Wouldn't that be something?
Are you saying there's a chance? Well, there's got to be a chance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 29th birthday, Pat Connaughton, the former Notre Dame star averages 11 points a game as a shooting guard for the NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks and shoots 40% from three. You may remember Connaughton from the NBA All-Star Dunk Contest when he did a spot-on impersonation of Woody Harrelson in White Men Can't Jump. Connaughton was regarded as a big-time baseball prospect, was drafted by the Orioles as a pitcher in 2014. He pitched one summer for the Aberdeen Ironbirds in the minors, had a fastball that topped out at 98 miles an hour. But Connaughton returned to Notre Dame to play basketball, and he ultimately chose that sport.
You know what, Tony? On a team full of engaging guys, Connaughton may be the most fun to talk to. Extremely engaging, funny guy, follows sports. Not just basketball, sports. And a great athlete, we can see from that dunk contest, from people who can remember it. Yep. You know, he's one of those guys that played everything, it seems, and probably good at everything.
Happy anniversary, Michael Strahan. On this day 20 years ago, the Giants Hall of Fame defensive end set the single-season sack record with 22 and a half when his pal Brett Favre laid down in front of him, as Booger said earlier. We all love Strahan, so let's move on to this. T.J. Watt has 21 and a half sacks now. If he gets one and a half on Sunday against Baltimore, will he get the record without an asterisk because he will have played 15 games this year, not 17? Watt has 71 sacks in his five seasons in Pittsburgh. And if that sounds like a lot, his older brother, J.J. Watt, had 74 and a half sacks in his first five seasons before injuries whittled him down. J.J. Watt was a great player. Wilbon, is T.J. as good? Is he better?
Tony, I think he's as good. I really do. No asterisk. And by the way, doesn't the golden boy, doesn't the goat lay down like that every time somebody approaches him when they get within 5 yards? You want to discount all those sacks of Tom Brady? Really? I don't think so. We overstate that. We overstate the Brett Favre going down.
You hate Tom Brady's guts, and we all know it. Happy trails to 33 of Steph Curry's last 41 field goal attempts. The greatest shooter in NBA history is in a real slump. He went 5-for-24 in last night's loss to Dallas. The game before against the Heat, Curry went 3-for-17. In those games, Curry was only 2-for-19 from three. Curry's coach Steve Kerr, himself a great shooter, predicts, quote, he's going to break out of this pretty quickly. You'll remember last month when Curry was chasing the all-time three-point record and he lightly speculated he might hit 16 threes in one game. Well, in the 12 games since then, Curry is shooting 33.5% from three, 38.4% overall. Those are pedestrian numbers. Kerr said, quote, everyone is throwing everything at him. The best defenders double teams, unquote. Enjoy it now because the smart money's on Curry. Right, Mike?
Yeah. I mean, this is like Ted Williams or, you know, going 0 for 4 a couple of times. So what? And he gets a guy named Klay Thompson back in the lineup, presumably on Sunday, and people got to guard him. So how do you think this is going to work out? Short-lived slump at best.
Let's go to the big finish. Novak Djokovic could spend the weekend in detention in Melbourne while his appeal is heard. What do you make of this?
That'd be great. Him in the gulag for a little bit of time. Come on. Former Mets interim GM Zach Scott found not guilty of driving while intoxicated. Your thoughts?
I assume that justice was done, but he's not going to get that job back. That's not going to happen. Bears quarterback Justin Fields entered the protocol. Your reaction?
It's been a bad year for the Bears. It's almost as bad as it can be, except for Robert Quinn, who's got the club sack record. Everything else about it has been a disappointment. The Wizards lost again at the buzzer last night. How'd that feel?
Kevin Porter Jr. got him. It's not the same as the DeRozan shot because they were tied at this point. It's not like they were ahead, but they're down to 19-19. Last one, Clippers at Suns tonight. I assume you've got the Suns.
I do, Tony. There's an incentive to, at least temporary. They could be in first place after that game if they win and Golden State loses. Good to follow the Suns.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here's SportsCenter.
2 to 4 inches of snow coming here tonight.
Yeah, I'm glad you're in LA. Tonight, tell you that.